Hills as a senior resort.
Every day is just like home. It is home. I love it here.
We encourage people to come down and visit us and to take a tour, to look around, to have lunch on us or dinner on us and experience Sycamore Glen. Not the lifestyle you need, but the lifestyle you've earned.
That's Sycamore Glen. For more information, call 894-0384.
KKXX, Paradise.
K280, GL, Chico.
And K283AR, Chico. Yuba City, Marysville.
This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Joy is an attitude of faith in the Lord that celebrates His greatness and glory. Make today a joyful day by feeding your heart with God's Word. Take in solid Bible teaching and live it out by God's power. Hi, my name is Dr. Lou Diaz, and I'm providing inspirational teaching for you from God's Word each week at 10 a.m. on Saturday or on Sunday at 10 a.m. Both messages are identical, so pick the day that fits your schedule best. If you would like to hear my current message series, you may call Butte Bible Fellowship at 530-892-0521. Call Butte Bible Fellowship at 530-892-0521 to find out how you can connect with our weekly worship services and faith-building messages from God's Word.
Water to wine. Today's reading from the Word. Now we continue reading from the Bible with John chapter 2. On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were 6 stone water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." So they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now, and take it to the head waiter." So they took it to him. When the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom, and said to him, "Every man serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then he serves the poorer wine, but you have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. John 2:12. After this he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there a few days. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers seated at their tables. And he made a scourge of cords and drove them all out of the temple, with the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who were selling the doves he said, "Take these things away. Stop making my Father's house a place of business." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign do you show us as your authority for doing these things?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It took 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. So when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said this, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had spoken. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name, observing his signs which he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men, and because he did not need anyone to testify concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man. This is The Word, reading from the Bible without comment. And I'm your scripture reader, Nicholas Hope. Today, as usual, I've been reading from the New American Standard Bible Update. Be listening next time for more from The Word. Saddle up your horses.
Started out this morning in the usual way.
Yeah, we are starting out today in the usual way. The usual way on the Robin Walter Show. God bless you all for tuning in today. I appreciate the fact that our podcast audience is expanding slowly, very slowly, but it continues to incrementally expand. If you get this by podcast, please encourage others to go listen, because I wouldn't come with information that I didn't think was important, obviously. And to the extent that we can open up the eyes of those who have eyes to see, and we can open up the ears of those who have ears to hear, then this is worth every minute and dime we spend doing this. There's a lot who will close their eyes and stop their ears because they don't want to hear it. They have those ears that Timothy talks about, itching ears that need to be tickled with what they want to hear. Well, today we got a power-packed program with so much. Let's get rolling, but I want to remind you, if you want to pick this up on Rumble, go to the search bar, and it's just Robin Walter's Show. The word "the" is not in the front, and there's no space. Just one word, Robin Walter's Show. On your podcast, obviously, it's The Robin Walter Show, spaces between the words. And then there's the website, which is robinwalter.net, if you want to try to download it from the website. So let's get rolling. It's hard to not launch this with some degree of continuation of last week dealing with abortion. Those of you who did not hear last week's message program, please, please go to a podcast and pick it up from last week. And it's called Trannies, Abortion, and Biden, Oh My. The great bulk of it is about abortion, and it covers the law, the logic, and the logos. The logos being what the Word of God says about abortion. It is as comprehensive as I could have made it in the half an hour that I gave it. But the saga is not over as the left continues to do what only the left seems to have a monopoly on, and that is unjustifiable violence, intimidation, and you want to know who are the perpetrators of hate speech? They're no bigger haters than the left. So I tell people, somebody might say what I'm saying is hate speech. I say, well, you're partly correct. It's what I say that you hate. Somebody hates the truth. Somebody hates the Word of God. They're the haters. And what follows in their screed against people of the right, what conservatives, specifically Christians, is unbridled hate speech. But that's what the left does. They always accuse somebody else of what it is they're doing so they can deflect. And then they got time to confuse the matter. And then pretty soon we move on to a new story, something else, and it's lost. It's like the Obama administration. Well, we had Fast and Furious, and we couldn't get down to Fast and Furious before we got on to Benghazi. Then we get on to something else. He kept ramming these major, not just stories, but what's the word I'm thinking of here? Scandals. I don't know why that escaped me. Scandals. And you couldn't absorb one, much less prosecute one, before you were on to the next one. This is, they want to ram, cram, slam, and jam the left-wing dogma down our throat till we are gagging and we can't throw up the first one because we got four more that have been stuffed in our throat while we're trying to react to the first. It is why I'm still convinced in the right way is for states to leave the union. Because the only way the left ever will understand anything, as I've said, is they got to get slapped in the fanny financially. And when God-fearing states as a whole, tax-producing, revenue-producing states leave, just leave Joe Biden with a humongous debt that he's responsible for. Okay, back to the abortion issue, and we've got to scream through these things. Biden is continuing to encourage abortion protests at the justices' homes. This just, does it surprise me? No. But I want to read to you the law that makes what the left is doing at these justices' homes illegal. I mean, it's been referenced, well, this is against the law, it's against the law. Well, you'll hear that on Fox and some others, and I have some renewed concerns about Fox, and especially, as much as I love Tucker Carlson, his suppression of any mention of the incredible documentary 2000 Mules. If you don't watch anything for the whole rest of the year, go get it. If you can't get it free, pay the $29.99 and get it. It'll be the best $30 you've ever spent. Indisputable, undeniable, irrefutable that the election was stolen, and there is a concerted effort to steal every election going forward, because woe unto them if they lose power and Donald Trump comes back into office and can execute some revenge. Would revenge be appropriate on his part? Actually, it would be biblical, because it isn't revenge by him for him. It's revenge against them on behalf of the people of the United States. Here's the law. Here's the law the Democrats are joyfully violating, that Joe Biden, Cammy No Brains Harris, Merrick Garland, they all think is just fine because they're just sucking out of a left-wing toilet. 18 U.S. Code 1507 says, quote, whoever, with the intent of interfering with, obstructing, or impeding the administration of justice, or with the intent of influencing any judge, note that, with the intent of influencing any judge, juror, witness, or court officer in the discharge of his duty, pickets or parades in or near a building housing a court of the United States, or in or near a building or residence occupied or used by such judge, juror, witness, or court officer, or with such intent uses any sound device. I'm sorry, I misread that. Not sound device, sound truck, or similar device. Anyone who used with such intent to intimidate or influence a judge, juror, witness, I'm just kind of recapping because I messed up my quote here, or with such intent uses any sound truck or similar device, or resorts to any other demonstration in or near any such building or residence, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 1 year, or both. This is the clearest intent to influence, intimidate, and harass these judges. They are around their houses, and jackass Joe Biden, Cammy Harris, Merrick Garland, Pelosi, Schumer, none of them think this is wrong. They think it is just absolutely fine to go do this. I mean, this is, it's almost beyond belief. Merrick Garland, of course, he's not gonna prosecute him because why? He's a pro-abort. He loves blood on his lips from innocent unborn children. That's why he's not enforcing the law. It has nothing to do with principle. If it were pro-life protesters out there, you can bet Merrick Garland would have already rounded them up, thrown away the key, and then given them and prosecuted them for the highest punishment possible. There's no question about it. The law is the law. Does he enforce it? No, he doesn't enforce it. I practiced law in California under Cammy Harris. Did she enforce the law? She enforced the law she liked. She did not enforce the law she didn't like. She is so ridiculously unqualified to be anything, including a Sunday school teacher, most of all, or a child care, daycare operator. You'd have all the kids 5 years old and up questioning their gender, and 5 years old and below. They're absolutely, totally unqualified. They do not follow the law. Now, I want to tell you what I tend to think would be the only way to get Garland and the others to actually enforce the law. And I guess I encourage it? Well, I guess I do, because nobody's enforcing the law, so do we just go out and do the same thing? Why doesn't the right get out there and picket and bullhorn and harass? Well, they're not doing any damage. They're not damaging the houses. They're not walking on their lawns. They're just out there with bullhorns and placards and yelling and screaming and so forth at the homes of Sotomayor or Kagan. Go right on down the line of the left-wing judges. Harass them. Now Garland will come out. But you know what he'll do? He'll arrest them, and he won't arrest the boys and the girls who are doing his bidding. All right. That the so-called president of the United States would encourage this behavior is simply unbelievable. And Jen Psaki, of course, is out there saying the same thing. She's out there stating, I mean, let me just quote this. She says, "We certainly continue to encourage protests outside of judges' homes, and that's the president's position." End quote. So here's Jen Psaki on behalf of the president stating that she, on behalf of him, is encouraging them to violate the law. Wow. Well, we already know that. The law means nothing. The law is no constraint upon them. The law is a hammer when it works to their advantage, and it's something to be totally ignored and kicked to the curb when it gets in their way. You see, what they don't do, they'll say, we don't condone any violence here. What they don't say, we condemn the violence. Condone means we just don't approve of it. Condemn means you absolutely disapprove of it, and it comes with a warning, a severe warning. You don't get that from Jen Psaki. You don't get that from Biden. You don't get that from any Democrats. Does the Bible have a definition for what would constitute the Democratic Party today? Do you know what it does? Here's my word for the day, Proverbs 6, starting with verse 16. These six things does the Lord hate. Notice the word hate. I went past the school the other day. It said, "School's no place for hate." How stupid is that? That is so stupid. You love the things you should love, and you hate the things you should hate. What? I hate sodomy. Hate little boys being molested by older men. Goodness sake. So it makes me want to, well, I can't say on the air what I want to do to them. Is it right to hate them? Woe be unto you if you don't hate that behavior. God says, "I love Jacob, but I hated Esau." These six things, the Lord says, I hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Now, please don't say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, what is there an abomination to God in the Old Testament that would be okay, kind, loving, natural, normal, affirming in the New Testament? Now, God didn't change. His word is forever settled in heaven. Same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no shadow of turning nor variableness with him. That's why we ignore the Old Testament at our peril. It's not as though God got saved and accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior after finishing the Old Testament and decided to pen a New Testament. That'd be blasphemy. So these things are an abomination to God. I mean, he hates this stuff. A proud look, a lying tongue. Is there any party coming to mind here? Hands that shed innocent blood Any party come to mind? A heart that devises wicked imaginations? Any party come to mind? Feet that are swift in running to mischief? Any party come to mind? A false witness that speaks lies? Any party come to mind? He that sows discord among the brethren? They love no better than to try to split the church. Everything that God hates, these seven things in Proverbs, absolutely fits a Democratic Party to a T. Now, does it mean the Republicans aren't guilty of any of those? No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying, well, there's one party that is distinctly guilty of all of them, and they love it, and they are proud of it. That's why they have Pride Month, right? This passage from Proverbs distinctly points to abortion as one of them, hands that shed innocent blood. There are humans in the womb. It's not animal life. It's not plant life. It's human life. You can't get rid of it unless you kill it, and you can't kill it without shedding blood. Pretty easy. No brainer. So there's this talk about renaming Washington, George Washington University, by the Washington Post. It's come out and said, well, we got to rename them because George Washington was a racist. Well, the Washington Post doesn't want to rename itself because they'd lose subscribers, right? Right. But should Washington, D.C. be renamed? Maybe so. Because if it seeks to become, as the council has proposed, that we become human rights sanctuary. Keep in mind, the only humans that are at risk in Washington, D.C. are in the womb. The mother that gives birth is alive. The mother that kills her child is alive. The only dead ones are in the womb. So the only human rights involved are those of the children in the womb, not those that are doing the killing. But that's escaped the mentality of the knuckleheads running and occupying the council in Washington, D.C. But should it be named, renamed? Yes. It should be renamed Washington, D.C. If it becomes a human rights sanctuary for abortion seekers, then it needs to be called Washington, D.C. Well, Gavin Newsom, not to be outdone by Washington, D.C., says that we need to fund the killing of the unborn in the state so that people can come here and we can become an abortion sanctuary as well. To that tune, those of you listening in California, listen up. He's pegged $125 million of your money specifically to help pay for travel and the abortions of women coming from states that have some degree of morality to come and slaughter their children on the altar of Molech in California. $125 million. They are boasting that they are going to have over 30% of all the abortion clinics in the United States and maybe 50% when combined with New York. Newsom says he wants to build a firewall around the state to protect abortion, proposing an amendment to the state constitution granting the right to an abortion to replace the federal one. Well, there'll be a firewall, Gavin, but that firewall won't stop the fire. Won't stop the fires of judgment coming upon you. This is going to be the state that has a cult of death. And as long as we're renaming Washington, D.C., to be Washington, D.C., California should be renamed either California or maybe Auschwitz or Buchenwald, right? Say, oh, how can you compare that to the execution of the Jews? The Jews were a targeted victim class in California. Unborn children are to become a targeted victim class. Well, he goes on to say, quote, by updating existing business incentive programs to provide additional consideration for companies leaving the states that have enacted restrictions on reproductive rights and anti-LGBTQ plus laws, the governor is welcoming, this is actually a spokesman for the governor, welcoming companies that share California's values and doubling down on the diversity that makes our economy a global leader, so says Newsom's office. And they've given, there's a term for this now. It's called abortion tourism. That's right. Abortion tourism. That's made this economy a global leader. You ain't seen nothing yet, Newsom. That God is going to destroy the economy of that state by itself. Sin consumes itself. The left turns on itself. The left eats its own young. And by punishing states, by punishing companies in states that have taken a moral stand against the queer dogma, the tranny nut situation, and contending that abortion is a matter of reproductive rights, while it's not a right to kill what you the right is to reproduce. The right isn't to kill what's been reproduced. Of course, that's bass ackwards, as they say. But everything is. But by pushing that they're going to no longer allow any of their state employees to go to any of the states that don't allow for open queerdom and proselytizing towards the queer agenda in the classroom and don't allow for abortions on demand, they don't get to send their state employees won't go to those states. They're going to boycott them. Just like protesting Sotomayor and Kagan's home, why don't those states say, nuts to you, California. We aren't allowing any of us. We're not paying for one stinking thing to go to your stinking state. If you want to lead the world, and not as an economy and global leader in the economy, but as the global leader in bloodletting, go ahead. But we're not going to subsidize you with our tourism dollars that help cover $125 million that you're setting aside for the slaughter of the unborn. Now, I mean, just when you'd like to think someone on the left could conjure up a common sense argument towards anything that's supported by morality, no, they just get even yet more stupid. How about this one from the left? Outlawing abortion will violate the 13th Amendment. Now, the 13th Amendment, in case you don't know, is the amendment that prohibits slavery. And the argument is this, that if a mother cannot kill her unborn child, then that makes the mother a servant of the child. I'm not kidding. I know your head is spinning, but when you have a reprobate mind, there is no limit when God gives people over to a reprobate mind just how unbelievably stupid and immoral they can get. But they're saying that makes the mother, since the mother can't kill the child, that means that the mother is a slave to the unborn child. And that violates the 13th Amendment's prohibition against involuntary servitude. Well, doesn't that mean then that you should be able to kill your 1 or 2 year old child? And if you can't, now you're in involuntary servitude to your 1 and 2 year old? Of course, it's the same rationale, but they can't. There is no rationing. They're rationing on the rationale. You can't. There is no sense in any of that. In fact, wouldn't it mean that even a murderer then becomes subject to, or is a victim of slavery because he's a slave to the person that he's prohibited from murdering? This is just, I mean, I could not sit around and make this up. And then you have one of the loser of losers, Lori Lightweight, the mayor of Chicago, issues a call to arms over the Supreme Court. Well, why don't we have a call to arms against the abortion providers? Well, because that's against the law. You can't even picket an abortion clinic within a certain bubble zone. You can't get within a certain distance of people going into the clinic to hand them a piece of tract of literature, a tract telling that they're killing their unborn. Can't do that. But it's okay to have a call to arms, which is a call to violence, Lori. Lori, you stupid idiot, the one who's the mayor over the city where 40, 50 people get shot every single weekend, somewhere between 5 and 15 deaths, and you're having a call to arms? I'll understand something here before we move on to, we shift gears. We covered in detail the law, the logic, and the logos of dealing with abortion. But understand, and I want to just give you a comparison of the people that are involved here. A couple years ago, we had the Women's March for Life. There was the Women's March, and then there was the March for Life. The Women's March was this, as Rush Limbaugh would say, the feminazi parade on the mall in Washington. That was the Women's March for equal rights and blah, blah, blah. And then you had the March for Life, which was in January a couple years ago, of course, dealing with protesting Roe v. Wade and the execution of the innocent unborn. Do you remember the contrast from that? I remember so vividly the pictures that the March for Life, men, women, they wore hats and gloves, modest clothing. It was January. The Women's March, they wore hats that described and portrayed various female genitalia. The March for Life was profound. The Women's March was profane. The March for Life, they had signs and placards about protecting the most innocent society, but the Women's March was obsessed with sex and demanding an affirmation of their sin. March for Life was orderly. It was clean. The Women's March was raucous and left mountains of trash. They're a bunch of pigs. The March for Life was huge, and yet it was ignored by the media. The Women's March was also huge, but it was glorified by the media. The March for Life had notable people leading in prayer. The Women's March had notable people leading in profanity. March for Life celebrated life. Women's March celebrated the culture of death. The March for Life advocated for protection for the most vulnerable in society. The Women's March advocated for the right to kill the most vulnerable. The March for Life speakers sought repentance. The Women's March sought revenge. The March for Life expressed hope. The Women's March expressed disdain and outrage. The March for Life had notable speakers who sought God's blessing, sought God's forgiveness. Women's March had notable speakers also, like Madonna talking about blowing up the White House. Ashley Judd spoke of incest between the president and his daughter, because a couple years ago this was when Trump was in office. The March for Life was a crusade by those who are found. The Women's March was a herd of those who are lost. I've never seen such a dark and stark contrast between life and death, between Christendom and hell. It's been said that there's no greater indicator of where a society is than either its rise or stage of decline than how it treats the most vulnerable among us. You know, we know those extremes from Adolf Hitler, what he did, what Israel did on the altar of Molech. Sadly, what we are doing today. It is sad. We're in a crucible. But more on this a little later. Don't go away. Robin Walter with the Robin Walter Show. We'll be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to The Robin Walter Show, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Or go to robinwalter.net and use PayPal. That's The Robin Walter Show, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Or robinwalter.net and use PayPal. Thank you.
We are back. This is a Robin Walters show. Okay, I'm going to shift gears, and I'm going to come back to this abortion thing at the tail end. But there's some other things that are so huge, I just got to get them out there. This is enormous. When I talk about the necessity of states leaving the union, secession by godly states, we reform the and call it the real United States of America, or the original United States of America. It's with things in mind like this next piece, because Joe Biden, the Biden administration has proposed an amendment to the regulations of the World Health Organization. World Health Organization, under the auspices of the UN and the UN's agency director general, they have regulations. And people can propose them. I mean, nations can propose them. And what Joe Biden has proposed, well, he doesn't propose it. He doesn't know jack of what he's doing because he's too busy playing with his trains and trying to remember where the bathroom is in his house. But the regulation amendment proposed by his administration would give unilateral authority to the UN agency's director general to declare a health emergency in the United States. I'm not kidding you. That some yin-yang in Brussels can declare a health emergency in the United States. And then the left-wing yin-yangs that are running this country say, well, the World Health Organization has dictated this. We have to follow the rules. No, we don't. Do you see how fast we're sliding to a one-world government? And any nation can provide regulations. Why would you provide and suggest a regulation to the World Health Organization that basically surrenders your sovereignty? Why would you give away your own government if you didn't hate your own government, if you didn't hate the Christian foundations and principles of this country? I mean, who on earth of the other nations would object? So this agency will just say, because of the impact, and this is the way it works. Actually, the regulation is going to state that when the agency determines that a health crisis in one nation has an undue impact on the health situation of other nations, then the World Health Organization can dictate a medical emergency in the country that supposedly has the health emergency. Well, let me just ask you, pray tell, what nation in the world has a significant, and if you want to put it this way, undue influence on other nations? Does maybe the United States come to mind? This is such a complete surrender of sovereignty that the World Health Organization would be able to focus this regulation unduly and almost exclusively on the United States. And so just what might be, I mean, what we need is Donald Trump or somebody to just tell the UN to stick it where the sun doesn't shine. But the Director General of the World Health Organization declare a health emergency at will, unilaterally? And what will be the health emergency? We forbid you to use more than 5 gallons of gasoline a week because you, United States, are consuming a disproportionate amount of gasoline and you're contributing to climate change and you're having an undue impact and influence on other nations. You, United States, you're the only nation where people can actually own guns. And now you have an undue influence upon the ability to give guns to other nations, and therefore you this undue impact and makes it's a health emergency. Do you think I'm nuts? No, I'm not. They just make up whatever they want. This arbitrary authority, to quote Dr. Bregan, who researched this, to declare a national emergency will be used against the United States if our government ever again dares to take an anti-globalist stand as it did under the Trump administration. End quote. It's why the Donald's got to return or we are toast. Next thing, giving up and surrendering autonomy to this government. You see, we have to surrender to this government before our government can surrender to another government. So what's Joe doing now? He signed a law mandating that vehicles after 2026, gas vehicles, have a kill switch. That can be operated remotely. Now, initially, this is set up to be optional, but this is the way they always do it. Oh, it's optional. Then a year later, it's mandated. It's already mandated for electrical vehicles equipped with a capability called superchargers. These kill switches can be implemented by government agencies to shut your vehicle off remotely. That's all these Democrats have ever been about, because it's all Satan has ever been about, control. And will the companies comply? Yes, they'll comply. And why? Because corporate America is not for us. It's against us. It's never been really Republican. It only supported Republicans when they felt that it would help their bottom line profit. Now they don't give a rat's rear end about profit. Not much. Because all the ones making a ton of money at the top will make a ton of money no matter what happens. Because the writer here says, real agenda behind this is climate hysteria. The climate change fear mongers want us poor and unable to travel and commute as we see fit. Next, Biden. You know what? If I were to identify the number of things Joe Biden has done that individually justify impeachment, this would be number, I think, 18. Let's have, if we can get a Republican Congress, let's have 18 separate impeachments against Joe Biden, all with facts to support it, none of which existed in the two against Trump. But Joe is going to go visit Jerusalem here just next week. And everything he's doing there, almost everything, basically sends a message to the Muslims that Mount Zion belongs to Islam. It's a clear message of supporting the establishment of a Palestinian capital in Jerusalem after Donald Trump recognizes it as the Israeli capital. That's all Joe wants to do. He's going over there. They just tell him, here's stupido Joe. Here's what you need to say. Here's what you need to do. They've got the visit to the eastern section of Jerusalem. It's where the mosque is. It's where the Mount Zion is. The El Makassed Hospital he's going to visit on the Mount of Olives, the largest Palestinian medical center. No U.S. president, quoting WorldNet Daily, has ever visited this section of Jerusalem. This stands in stark contrast to President Trump, who prayed at the Western Wall. And, of course, he also did some other things. But it says, in addition, the Biden administration has pledged to reopen a consulate for Palestinians in the eastern section of Jerusalem after Trump closed the consulate when he moved the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Go, Donald. Get lost, Joe. Joe, can't you just go down in a plane wreck or something? I can't encourage anybody to do something wrong, but can I pray for his removal? Absolutely. Now, I'm sorry. I gotta fit this in. Taco Bell. I have a fairly close relationship with Taco Bell because I've been involved in my work with the acquisition of Taco Bell's by some of my clients. But what are they doing that makes me want to hurl? Taco Bell is now announcing that in limited and specific stores for Pride Month, they're going to be putting on a drag show tour at various restaurants across America. That's right. It's called a drag brunch tour, starting in five cities across the country. They're going to feature drag queens performing at various Taco Bell cantina locations. Customers purchase a $5 breakfast box that includes Cinnabon Delights and mimosas during the event. They say, this will be fun. Yeah, right. They said, well, what started nearly 12 years ago is an effort to provide hope and encouragement to young LGBTQ RSTUVWXYZ people. And well, no, they don't say that, but you know what I mean. Has become now the global movement to uplift and empower queer youth before they're in crisis. So says Director Brian Wenke with the organization It Gets Better Project Executive that has partnered. And it says, we are beyond excited to partner with Taco Bell and the Taco Bell Foundation to celebrate LGBTQ plus community through the drag brunch experience and to collaborate on programming designed to engage LGBTQ plus youth around their career aspirations and future potential. Boycott Taco Bell. I don't want to, and I need to. I mean, I'm not saying I like or dislike their food. I know that's popular. I did not know they've made this left turn and it's been fairly recent, but if I go in there, I'm eating and I see a drag queen show, I'm going to puke. I'll puke all, I will. It's an involuntary, puking is involuntary, right? So how can it be a hate crime? Well, new Oregon law, Oregon, as I want to say, when I don't like what's going on there, which is pretty much all the time, now will require menstrual products in the boys' bathroom, called the Menstrual Dignity Act, signed in by Katie Brown, requiring all K through 12 schools to provide free sanitary products to students, along with instructions on their use, both in the girls' and in the boys' bathroom. Well, just how precious is that? I'm not going to even read to you from the law, because I'm not sure I could finish this program without hurling. Get your children and grandchildren out of government schools. They're not getting an education. You're getting an indoctrination. Anybody that's heard any bit of this program is without excuse and say, I can't afford it. Well, when you say you can't afford it, you're saying God's not able to help me do the right thing for the children, God, or grandchildren God has given me. That's how serious it is. And I know that people will say that, well, you just have to love the homosexuals. You just have to love these queers, the trannies. I'm not saying you don't express a love, but the way people say you have to love them never brings them face to face with their sin. It never does anything except affirm their behavior by the gutlessness that's encased and wraps up this love and a loving attitude. Would you not tell somebody on their way to hell that they're going to hell? Is this the problem with American evangelism? As Ray Comfort would say, we have easy evangelism. We have salvation by osmosis. Everybody is just welcome to pursue their best life. I mean, I personally can't think of one pastor who could not be possibly missing the mark more than Joel Osteen. The guy is the Dr. Feelgood in your best life now. Well, because he won't say the three-letter word, sin. It doesn't show up. He never brings a person face-to-face with the only thing that would really cause them to give their heart to the Lord. What is the first thing Jesus said in his ministry? Very first thing when he began his ministry. I'll tell you, it's the very thing that was the first thing John the Baptist said. Repent. If you don't really repent, there's no salvation. Repentance not involved. It's your best life now. Could be your worst hell now if you died in a church like Osteen. So I have a few questions for people who have this sort of gutless, feckless approach towards the homosexual community. I don't need to attack them. I just simply tell them, A, it's not genetic. B, it's sin. I've said that to their face, not in a hateful way. I wanted them to be delivered, and there is no deliverance. Why would you affirm something that sends them to hell, along with any other behavior, whether it's prostitution or drug dealing? You're going to do these things. It doesn't reflect. It's not the act itself. that sends you to hell, but the fact that you continue on in that activity reflects that you do not have a changed heart. So if you're continuing in that behavior like that, that means any alleged conversion experience was fake. It was bogus. You know a tree by its fruit. Jesus said it. That's red letter for all you red letter edition folks. So I have a few questions. If the way it is that you just have to love them, I would like the people who say that from now on to start defining what they mean by love. Do you love a child that you don't tell them that touching the hot burner is wrong, he's going to get hurt? Is that love? Maybe the burner's not on. Maybe it's on low. Maybe, whatever. You wouldn't do that. You hate that child. The fact of the matter is, homophobia is expressed only by those who will not tell them the truth. That's the hatred. That's the hate speech, is affirming their behavior and not telling. So those who say you just have to love them, please define love for me. And second of all, how do you implement that love? Does hell enter ever into the conversation? Are we just such a bunch of weenies in this country that we cannot preach a gospel like Finney or like Spurgeon or by Moody? These great preachers who never, ever separated a true conversion from a recognition that the party to be saved must recognize their sin. Please tell me how many have you won over by a message that only confirms and basically affirms their behavior by never bringing up anything dealing with that sin? And let me ask you this. This is a good question. Who do you love more? If we're talking about who do you love, who do you love more? A tranny, queer, indoctrinating teacher? Or your children or grandchildren who are on the verge of being spiritually and emotionally molested? If you don't speak the truth, stand up and call them to account. You say, yeah, well, we just need to love them. Oh, fine. But before you finish loving them in all the ways you plan to love them, what are you going to do starting tomorrow that will save gazillions of children from being the victims of spiritual and emotional, and in some cases in these schools, physical molestation by these people who only want to feel good about their sin by making your child or grandchildren twice the child of sin that they are? You see, every time you challenge them, all you're doing is bringing out what is essentially a demonic cause. Next, Jen Suckey says she's struck by how Donald Trump has a hold on people. Why? She said this at a press conference. How are they in the grips of Donald Trump? Well, I'll tell you why Donald Trump has a hold on people. Because he doesn't. Is people have a hold on him. There's nothing secret here. Donald Trump does not have a hold on a mega crowd. No, he himself has an unbridled hold on freedom, liberty, parental rights, secure borders, property rights, small government. He's real. He's unfeigned. He's unbridled. He's unabashed. And so do people. Does he have a hold on the people? No, the people have a hold on the very things that Donald Trump has a hold on. We want to be bolder and stronger because he's bold and strong and he leads us in that sense. But it's only because we identify with what he identifies with. If he waffles, we're gone. I'm gone. He doesn't have a hold on anybody beyond what the issues are that we hold near, dear, and precious. You see, the Democrats have a hold, but it's not voluntary. It's involuntary. It's done by mandates. It's done by growing government. It's by ramming, cramming, slamming, and jamming their agenda down our throats till we can't stand it anymore. It's by pressuring precious school children into changing their sexual preference, if you will. All Democrats hold is by force, power, and intimidation, wrapped up, which is called tyranny. You see, people will flock to true freedom. That's why they flock to Trump. People try to flee Biden, but they can't. That's why he wants kill switches on our cars. Why he wants teachers to have absolute control in the classroom. That's why he wants health Nazis and a Gestapo-like compliance over everything dealing with sexual morality in this country. You see, the left can't make Donald go away anymore. They try to impeach him. Well, they did impeach him twice, but they can't impeach him anymore. You know, the Democrats are trying to play whack-a-mole with Donald. Every time they whack him, he pops up someplace else. They can't make him go away because they can't impeach him anymore. And why can't you make him go away? Because no matter how hard you try, no matter how hard you punish, no matter how much money you spend on suing, imprisonment, and authorities carrying out the bidding of the enemy, you cannot destroy or extinguish truth. Keep it off social media. It will leak out yet another way. But all of this comes down to whether we stand. And Alexander McLaren made this comment. I want to quote him. Because it deals with the issue coming back to where we started with abortion. Dealing with a judge called Manasseh, the worst king Israel ever had. He repented. But God said, you know, I'm still going to visit judgment on Israel because while Manasseh repented, the sin that he imposed was so huge it cannot be overlooked. This is McLaren's quote. Manasseh is said to have done like unto the abominations of the heathen, and is said to have done evil more than did the nations. When a worshiper of Jehovah does like the heathen, he does worse than they. An apostate Christian is more guilty than one who has never tasted the good word of God, and is likely to push his sins to a more flagrant wickedness. The corruption of the best is the worst. We cannot do what the world does without being more deeply guilty than they. End quote. So God went on to judge Israel because while Manasseh's heart was changed, he instituted so much evil, the shedding of so much blood, it was beyond salvation, without salvation in the sense that judgment could not be avoided. Destroyed, wiped off the face of the earth? I don't know. Don't know about that. That's God. But judgment, like Billy Graham once famously said, but he said it in the context of the homosexual agenda, that if God doesn't judge America, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, we have that issue facing us now with the abortion issue. We are, as I mentioned earlier, we're in a crucible. There is only one possible difference between now and then, and here it is. This is the only possible difference. In the time of Manasseh, Manasseh repented, and the people didn't. So there was a change back in Manasseh's reign, only at the top. Only at the top. Repentance was open and by him, but it never spread down. There was never a trickle down. He corrupted the people, and though he repented, the people remained corrupted. Where are we today? We have a leadership that hasn't even gotten to phase one, the repentance. And what would happen if Joe Biden repented, seriously repented, and switched gears? That's the only difference. Biden hasn't repented. Manasseh did. But if he totally switched gears, the left would take Joe Biden out and hang him by his fanny in the smokehouse. He would be ruthlessly destroyed because the hearts of so many have been tainted and corrupted. Is there hope? Well, not without an open repentance and by our leaders And the repentance has to be the recognition of sin. It cannot be, as the president of Guatemala was bewailing a couple of weeks ago, could the United States quit trying to push homosexuality, abortion, and